Good morning, everyone. It is such a beautiful day out, man. It's getting warm. Isn't this awesome? It's like, feels like spring. And then comes summer, and then comes fall, which is football season again. So that's what I'm waiting for. But anyways, hey, let's stand up and worship this morning. God is good. Hey, you can have a seat, and as you're sitting down, turn to the person next to you and say, glad to see you here.
Good morning. Hope you've had a great morning already. We've had a good morning here at Cornerstone. By the time you guys get here for our second service, we've been here a while, and we've had a great first service. The music this morning, the worship is just incredible. So I'm looking forward, and you're in for a treat this morning. We're in this series called From This Day Forward, Five Commitments to Fail-Proof Your Marriage. And we're looking at how we can improve our marriages, how we can make our marriages more reflect the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. And really, that's our foundation when we look at marriage, is how can we be more like Christ? How can we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our marriages? And what we're doing today, we're looking at the importance of having fun. So I'll just tell you now, this morning, it's definitely kid-friendly. I'm not going to get myself in trouble, I don't think, this morning. That's not the plan anyway. Next week, I'm going to give you a heads up, though. We're talking about purity. It will be a great week for our kids to check out our Cornerstone Kids downstairs, okay? I'm giving you a week notice. Next week, purity is such an important topic. There's just a lot of things we do need to address. So if you got kids, it would be great to let them check out our children's ministry next week. When you came in, you got a worship guide, several announcements on here. Just you can kind of look over these. Two that I want to bring to your attention. One is today, right after this service, we are having a newcomers lunch. This is a great time to hang out, find out a little bit more about Cornerstone, our history, our vision, who we are, how you can get involved. We're providing lunch. It's not too late to sign up. If you would like to stay, here's what I want you to do. If you would just raise your hand for me right now. If you are planning on staying for our newcomers lunch, just so we can get a head count for the food, anybody here, even if you haven't signed up, this is a great opportunity. So you got you guys and Kathy over here. So two more here. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, Danielle and Thomas over here. So you got those. Mark's back here counting. So, okay. If you change your mind, catch Mark before he leaves the building here. And he'll get you covered. But it's a great time. I encourage you to do that. We'll try to do this from time to time just to let you know about Cornerstone and a little bit more about us. The second announcement is about our Nicaragua trip. We're trying to get up a trip June 1st through June 8th. Right now, we're kind of right on the border of having enough people to go. We could use a few more people to sign up to express interest in this. And if we do, then this trip will be a go. But it'll be just an incredible trip. What we typically do mornings, it's radio ministry. It's sometimes construction, sometimes a little bit of farming. So it's a little bit of everything in the mornings. Then in the evenings, afternoons, you go out to remote villages in Nicaragua and go out into some pretty poverty-stricken areas. And you help provide food, do Bible studies, do all sorts of usually help with medical care. In the villages, we do pastor training as well, all sorts of things that we do in a week's time. And we really would encourage you, if you are at least interested in this, to let me know. We'll see if we can make this trip a reality. But we're excited about this. Our church has been to Nicaragua now, I don't know how many times. We've had individuals go down. We've had groups go down. We've taken at least 8 or 9 groups down. Over the years, and we've had a lot more individual trips. So we've had a partnership with Because We Care Ministries there in Nicaragua, so it is a great opportunity. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you would, just take out a communication card. You'll find those in the seats in front of you. Fill that out for us and let us know you're here. We'd appreciate that. And again, this morning is going to be we had a great time for service. So we're talking about having fun in marriage. We can have fun in church. And we're going to have fun in church this morning. Would you guys pray with me before we continue on? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here in your house this morning, to be able to worship, to be able to pray, to be able to study your word, to be able to have fun in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, may you just speak into our hearts. May you just challenge us and transform us this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. This morning, we just want to invite you to worship with us. And to you know, if it's raising your hands, if it's clapping, if it's singing loud, if it's just praying where you're at, we just want to invite you to worship God the way God wants you to worship this morning. You know, this next song is so powerful. It's called Sing My Love. And the first line says, words could never say the way he calls my name. He calls me lovely. And to me, that is so powerful that Jesus looks at us no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on, and he sees us as lovely, sees us as one of his children. And this morning, just that thought is just, man, a God that loves us so much and just wants to be so part of our lives no matter where we've been, no matter where we're at now, he just wants to be in relationship with us. So this morning, just stand up and let's just worship God's greatness this morning.
Calls me lovely. No one ever sees the way he looks at me. He's gotta shout, shout my praise. Yeah. I can't hold my praise back from you. I can't hold my praise back from you. I've gotta shout, shout my love. Hey, hey, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My soul makes nations boast in the Lord, in you, Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My soul makes nations boast in the Lord. Can't hold my love back from you. I can't hold my love back from you. I've got to sing. I've got to sing. Sing my love. Sing my love. Sing my love. Sing my love. Can't hold my love back from you. Can't hold my love back from you. I've got to sing. I've got to sing. Sing my
Jesus, I will worship your holy name. I exalt.
Dear God, we exalt you this morning. And God, I just pray this morning that we'll exalt you in our marriage. We'll exalt you in our relationship. No matter what's going on, dear God, you're there. You're the great healer, not just of sickness, but of financial troubles, of problems with our spouse, or just relationships in general, dear God. We pray as Pastor Mike comes up and delivers your word that we'll take down any barriers that we have up, and that we'll let you just enter us and speak to us this morning. We thank you for this time of worship through song, and we just pray for the worship through the word. We love you, Lord. Pray.
Amen. Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Smalley, and I've been helping marriages for years improve, and I've got a couple of friends who have some very unique insights into marriage, and I want you to meet them.
Hey, thank you, Gary. My name is Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
And you know, marriages is something that I think we're all excited about and something that we think we can bring a lot of wisdom to. Isn't that right, Dr. Dobson?
Smalley?
Oh, well, that's sorry. Our faux pas. Sorry, we got some killer marriage tips that we think are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No dancing. When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences
for her.
It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun, but make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No, that's...
Yeah, it is.
That makes sense.
It is.
Does not make sense.
It is.
When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think, and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents, but putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's a classic.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
You know, guys, those are kind of horrible tips.
Okay.
I guess she didn't like them that much.
I mean, when you think about it, those were killer tips, and I think they'd, like, kill most marriages.
Well, I guess we're at an impasse then.
Yeah. Awkward.
Hey, Gary, here's an idea, though. To keep the video rolling, let's just do the robot at the end and send this thing off with some fun, if you know what I'm saying. We gonna do that with us?
I tell you what, I was, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by this. It's kind of, like, weird.
Well, guess what? We're talking about having fun this morning at Cornerstone. We can have fun in church. And, I hope you appreciate all these marriage tips we're giving you. Just don't listen to any of those. And you'll be in pretty good shape. This has been a good series we're in. We're talking about from this day forward. When we get married, You share wedding vows with each other from this day forward. And those are powerful words, from this day forward. They don't look back on the past or what's happened in the past, but they look forward to the future. And what we're talking about are commitments that we can make from this day forward. From this day, no matter what's happened in your past, no matter if you're here this morning with frustration, discouragement, wherever you find yourself, if you're here this morning, my prayer is that you would leave here saying, from this day forward, I'm going to make a change in my marriage and in my relationships, and I'm going to put Christ first. And we've kind of kicked off this series back a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the importance of seeking God. So five commitments we're making. The first was seeking God. And if you remember, I said we put God as our one and our spouse as our two. And it's just a different way of looking at it a little bit. We want to make sure that we make Christ first in our marriage, and then our spouse comes secondly. Then the second week, last week, we talked about how to resolve conflict, about how to fight fair. And I know, as much as we dislike it, but we will find ourselves in periods or times when we are in disagreement with our spouse. And we have to learn how to biblically resolve conflict in a way that honors Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to be tackling the topic of having fun. And, I mean, aren't you looking forward to this already? Having fun in marriage. And I told you earlier, I'll keep it clean. But we're going to talk about how to have fun, and that is so important. Then next week we're going to tackle a more serious topic about purity, about staying pure. And then finally we're going to wrap this thing up by talking about how we never give up, about how marriage is a commitment that we keep, that we don't give up. So that's kind of where we're going. And today I want to talk to you about having fun in your marriage, because so often people don't have fun in their marriages. In fact, I went online and I found a few quotes for you about marriage this morning. One was this. It says, a man doesn't know what happiness is until he gets married, and by then it's way too late to do anything about it. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right and the other is the husband. Marriage is a three-ring circus: the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering. Yeah, have you heard some of these before? A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. A successful woman is one who can find such a man. Okay, that was like bad. Okay. I know, they're corny, right? But, I mean, y'all, we all hear so many stories, so many jokes about marriage. And, you know, and when it's always, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but when, like, two people get engaged to get married, for whatever reason, like, when a guy gets engaged, like, all of his buddies start running to him, don't do it! And they try to talk him out of it. I'm here to tell you that marriage is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is ordained by God. It was created by God. And it is something that we should be proud of. It's not something we should be afraid of. It's not something we should make jokes about. Marriage was not created for you to be miserable and bored and discouraged and frustrated. It was created for you to enjoy the companionship and the intimacy that God intended with your spouse. And that's really why we're doing a series like this. I don't want to continue to see marriages break up. I don't want to continue to see people who are discouraged and frustrated and miserable in their marriages. I believe that God has something better in store for us. And if we go to His Word, if we trust Him, if we look at what He is calling us to do, I know that it can be so much better. Let me give you some more quotes that maybe more accurately talk about what we're sharing here. I read this one this week. A successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person. That's more like it, isn't it? Or how about, together live each day like your last and each night like your first. Can I get an amen? Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Okay, I mean, there's so many scriptures about marriage. Proverbs 5 says, may your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer, and you'll have to keep reading to find out the rest. Okay? And some of you know this verse. You know, So Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Guys, so many times, I know we're frustrated. You go through life and it seems like it's just day after day, job after job, work after work, and it kind of piles up. But your wife is a reward for your toil. Your wife is something you should be proud of. Proverbs 31 talks about the incredible worth of a woman and the beauty. I mean, there's just so many verses that we see here in Scripture that tell us that marriage is a good thing, that marriage is a beautiful thing. And I want this to be an encouragement to you. On the front of your worship guides, if you flip them over, there's a little marriage assessment. Each week I've been giving you a little quiz. Just before we even jump in and start out, you can kind of see where you're at in your marriage. Are you really having fun in marriage? There's five questions here, and you kind of score yourself on a scale 1 to 5. Let me just share those five questions with you real quick. The first one is that my spouse and I are intentional about taking time to talk with each other. So on a scale 1 to 5, just how are you doing in that? Secondly, my spouse and I have regularly scheduled date nights. Okay, I got myself in a little bit of trouble the first service. I was up here, and right in the middle, I was going through the message, and on my screen pops a little text message from my wife. So when are you taking me out on a date? I've got some work to do here. My spouse and I have regularly scheduled date nights. The third is my spouse and I have activities we often enjoy doing together. So what are you doing together? Fourth, my spouse and I are pleased with our sexual relationship. Fifth is my spouse and I enjoy a high level of intimacy with each other. Again, kind of this shows you where you're at in a relationship. If you're dating right now, these are things that you can be thinking about for your future, right? Obviously, you're probably doing date nights and things like that. Hopefully, the others you're not quite to yet. And we'll be talking about that next week. But this whole idea, when you take a little assessment like this, I hope you realize that wherever you're at, you have room for improvement. You have room for improvement. And so what we want to do, we want to go to the Bible. We want to look at God's plan for marriage, and we want to look at how we can improve our marriages. And when we go to God's Word for marriage, it goes right to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. Let me just go to Genesis chapter 2 and show to you God's plan for marriage. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. In verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, I will make a helper suitable for him. And now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and the birds in the sky and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took out one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man. That's a Southwest Virginia translation. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. That's a picture of marriage, right? When we see companionship, that Eve was made perfectly for Adam, that there was no shame in the relationship, that they were created for each other. And that's the way God intended marriage. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's been tainted by sin. And so we see broken marriages, broken relationships, broken families. We see divorce. We see pain. We see all this stuff that has happened. And we ask ourselves, can marriage be what God intended? My answer is absolutely, positively, yes. It can be. So don't let what you see in the world shape what you believe about marriage today, because you can have something special. You can have something incredible. You remember, I've been sharing a quote with you. A great marriage is possible, but it's not probable if you do what everyone else is doing. And I want to challenge you again. Let's look at our marriages from a biblical perspective. Let's look at God's plan for relationships. Let's put Him first. And let's reorient everything else in our life around what it means to follow Christ. My desire is that you will have a great marriage. I'm so sick and tired of seeing marriages crumble and break up and see people say, well, we once were in love, but we've grown apart. Or, you know, well, we just don't have fun together anymore. Or, we just don't love each other anymore. Or, it's just not like it used to be. We've just grown apart. No, let's get serious about really honoring marriage the way it should be. Are you with me? I just imagine for a minute, if just one church, if this church got serious about strengthening our marriages, do you think the world, do you think this community would take notice if they see something different? I mean, it's so countercultural to even believe that marriages can make it. Of course, we want to go back, and I want to challenge you today to really, let's get serious about this. Let me read for you a verse from one of the great love stories of all times that's found in the Bible. And the whole book of Song of Solomon is just a beautiful love story. And it's pretty risque at points, too. But this verse I want to share with you is 5:16. This is a woman talking, and she's talking about her lover. He said, "His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved." Some versions say, "This is my lover. This is my friend." You know, I want you to know, in your marriage, you can be both lovers and friends. We can have fun in our marriage. You are created to complement each other. And in marriage, this is a beautiful picture. And so what I want to do, let's talk about how we can really put this into practice. How we can take our relationships and take our marriages, and let's not just go through the motions. Let's be serious. Let's really take this to heart. You know, when a couple starts dating, I've never heard, you know, a guy say, "Man, that girl I went out with, she was so boring and terrible. I can't stand being around her. That was just awful. I don't know why." You know, no. When a couple is dating, what do they say? "Man, I can't wait to see her. We just talked and we talked and we talked, and we have so much fun. And he's so crazy, and we do this, and it's just. I mean, isn't that? I mean, when couples are dating, there's excitement, there's adventure, there's romance, there's joy, there's fun. And why, when we get married, does all that go away? It shouldn't. And I want to talk to you this morning about how we can get back to that place. I want to give you three ways we can have fun for married couples this morning. Just kind of going back, and these are very, I mean, this is a really practical series here. Really some tips that hopefully you can learn from and improve your relationships. And then at the end, we're kind of go back to Scripture here and see why we do this. The first way for you to have fun as a married couple is through conversation. I bet you're expecting something else. But through conversation, through talking, that's the time when we get together face to face. And in dating, too, I mean, you know, in dating, couples talk together hour after hour after hour. And they enjoy it. And they get on the phone and they talk, and then they text, and then they just, you know, pick up the phone and just listen to each other. You know, I mean, you know, when you're dating, it's so exciting, and you just want to talk, and you just want to share, and you just want to get to know that person better. And my challenge is, if you're married, are you spending time talking with your wife? I saw where one marriage counselor, one marriage book said that couples should spend 1 hour a day in conversation. And I don't know about you, I'm sitting here thinking, an hour? Where am I going to find an hour? I mean, and we get so busy, we get so overwhelmed, and we think, how can I? But this is important that we spend time talking, and we spend time sharing, and we spend time just making our spouse a priority. Now, when our kids were little, we used to make them go to bed really early. You know, it'd be like 8 o'clock, kids, go to bed, and you know, 8:30, and they were like. And the reason we did that is so we could slow down, and we could sit down, and we could talk. And that was so important. For our marriage through our kids' younger years. And now as they're getting older, we're still getting rid of them. We're like, just go to your room. You know, we need time alone. Leave. And you can do that when your kids get a little older. But when our kids were little, we were like, we made that a priority to get them in bed early. And we called it our time for a couch date. And we would just sit down and we would talk. And when we did that, it is so refreshing. It is so powerful. And when we get busy and we kind of let that slip and we don't do it, you can tell a huge difference. Okay? This is just the importance of doing that. And you know, the biggest, man, there's just so many, but we get busy and we don't make time for it. And then the other thing, you know, even when we go out on dates, I mean, you go out on the date to talk with your wife or talk with your spouse, and you're sitting there, and I don't know about you guys, but I really struggle with two things. One is I don't know who in the world thought it was a good idea to put TVs in restaurants. I just want to smack them. Because I sit down, and inevitably, there's a TV somewhere within my field of view, and I'm like, and the whole time I'm like, you know, I just like drawn and like stuck on it. Are y'all that way too? Am I the only one? No. And my wife's sitting there, talking. Yeah, sure. What, was I supposed to? Oh, you know, and I struggle with that. And so what our wives need, guys, is for us, when we to have conversation means you actually listen and you actually engage. It's not like on Duck Dynasty, the episode you saw where he said, I've learned the art of being oblivious to chatter. Okay? I'm good at that. Okay? Now, I mean, this is listening and reacting and understanding. You know, the other thing that's bad is this stupid thing, right? I mean, because everybody's sitting at the table and, you know, you're sitting around at home on the couch. And the other night I was looking around, every single person in our family, all five of us, you know, had either iPod or phone out, going, you know, doing texting, playing a game, something. And we're like, yeah, this is great. You know, good example we are. Everybody's sitting here not even talking to each other. I mean, this is what we've got to fight against. We've got to make time to talk to a real live person, to have conversations. Okay, husbands, I want you to hear me on this, okay? Your wife needs you to listen to her. If you do not, resentment's going to build up, and she will find somebody that will listen to her. And then your marriage is in trouble. You understand me? That is such a big need, that we listen to each other, that we talk with each other. That this conversation is so important. You know, you think about what your close friends, what you do with them. You spend time talking. You have fun. You share. I mean, you just pick up the phone. You confide in each other. You're telling each other what's going on and what you're struggling with. And that's what we're talking about here. Proverbs 27:9. There's lots of verses in Proverbs about friends. And it's perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. You know, when you actually sit down across from each other and you listen and you share advice and you talk, I mean, that's building that intimacy. That's building that trust. That's building that friendship. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So, men, take time to build up your wife, to encourage her, to listen to her. Ladies, spend time talking with your husband. get involved and understand what they're going through and what's going on in their life. But make time to spend in conversations. The second thing we want to talk about this morning, the second thing, ways to have fun, is through companionship. Conversation is kind of that face-to-face time. Companionship is that kind of time that's side-to-side. And this is where you're just hanging out with your best friend. You're doing something that you enjoy with your wife or your husband. It's doing common activities together. Companionship is having someone in your life to have a good time with when times are good and when times are bad, that you can just share those experiences with somebody. And now women typically crave this face-to-face, the conversation. Men typically crave this time of companionship. And I know I love it when my wife is with me. Even if we're not talking, even if we just are spending time together, I love that. And that's how men are typically wired, that we just want our wife as a companion to be there with us and to spend time together. I like what one guy said. He says, "I always like to be by my wife's side, and I always hold her hand." He said, "I do it for two reasons. One, because I love her. And two, because if I let go, she goes shopping." So I always hold her hand. Okay? Ladies, I know some of you are here and you say, "I just wish my husband would come and sit down on the couch and watch the Daytona 500 with me." You know, I don't know why. And guys, some of you are saying, "You know, I wish my wife would just go shopping with me and spend that time at companionship." Wait a minute, did I get those two reversed? No, I think there's a lot of ladies here that, yes, and yeah, they like the race. So that's the companionship that I'm talking about, that you spend time together. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 is a passage that talks about the importance of companionship. It says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. In marriage, you are standing back to back, fighting against the world together. You're serving together. You're working together. You know this is the cord of three. I mean, that's God in the mix and wrapping you together. This is what companionship looks like. Why is companionship so important? A couple of reasons. One, because I truly believe it is unhealthy for a married person to spend the most enjoyable moments of their life in the company of someone else other than their spouse. You need to be spending the most enjoyable moments of your life with your spouse. Not your best buddy, not your friends, but your spouse. And I'm not saying you don't have hobbies, but you place your spouse in a position of priority in your life. The other reason is because it's selfishness when we put our own needs ahead of our spouse's. When we say, "Well, I want to do this, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I enjoy, and this is all about me, and I want to be happy." And marriage teaches us not to be selfish. And I think another reason why companionship is so important is just because shared experiences lead to shared feelings. When we share an experience together, we can talk about it. It brings us together. It builds that common bond in our marriage. The third reason why we can have fun, or the third way we can have fun, is through intimacy. And I'll let you connect the dots here a little bit, but intimacy is more than just a physical act. Intimacy is the joy of knowing someone fully and being known by that person with no fear of rejection. Intimacy is based on trust. And I will tell you this, because this is where we're going next week. Purity paves the way to intimacy. Purity paves the way to intimacy. And I want you to know that you can have intimacy in your marriage, but it is based on trust. It is based on trust. Guys, they want to meet a girl that they're physically attracted to and fall in love with her and never lose that physical attraction. And your greatest fear is that you'll marry someone and then you'll lose that attraction. I want you to know that intimacy creates that bond where you don't have to worry. Ladies, you want to meet a guy, fall in love, and know that you can trust that person completely. You want to be able to share everything you know and want to know without being rejected or without being afraid of what they're going to say or them using it back against you. That is intimacy. That's why intimacy is so important in a marriage. It's God's plan. One woman, one man, for life, in marriage, one flesh. That's God's intention. And God's plan is that order of relationships. Friendships lead to trust. That trust leads to love. That love leads to marriage. That marriage leads to intimacy. That intimacy leads to sex. That's God's plan for relationships. But in our world, we flip that around. So, I mean, just completely on its head. And instead, you start with sex and hope for friendship and maybe for love. And maybe that all ends up in marriage. It's completely backwards from God's plan. And I want to challenge you here. God's plan is best. What does it take to put or keep fun in marriage? It means that we have to be in conversation. It means we need companionship. It means we need intimacy. Your marriage can be so much greater when we do it God's way. Now, each week I've been giving you some really practical tips to kind of help you. This is a little bit different sermon series for us. A lot more practical, a lot of tips here. So I want to kind of wrap things up this morning, give you a list of 10 ways. 10 ways that you can kind of put fun back in your marriage. I think you've got them in your notes there. But if you're following along, there's 10 things here that I want to talk about. The first is to simply prioritize your marriage. Again, God is your one. Your spouse is your two. You let them know that they come before your friends. They come before your job. They come before your hobbies. They come before your kids, even. I read a book several years ago. I even did a sermon series on it like 4 or 5 years ago. It's called Kid CEO. The subtitle of the book is How to Keep Your Kids from Running Your Life. And I know that kind of sounds, you know, that kind of a lot of people push back. Well, but I love my kids and my life is about my kids. Your marriage comes first. The best gift you can give your children is a strong marriage. Biblically speaking, your job as a parent is to teach and train your children to leave, not to live in your basement when they're 30. Okay? Teach and train your children to leave. You want them to be successful. You want them to be able to move out on their own. Your spouse comes first, then your children. Prioritize your marriage. Secondly, schedule time for fun. We get busy. I understand it. And I know what so many people are going to say. Oh, this is all good, but you just don't understand. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. If you don't schedule time for fun, it will not happen. Yes, there's times for spontaneous fun, but you have got to schedule time. You've got to put it on your calendar. You've got to plan ahead, and you've got to guard that time and say, no, this is time for my wife. This is time for my husband. I'm not going to let anything else get in the way of this. Schedule time for fun. The third thing is to let worry go. So many of us are consumed by worry. Finances, responsibilities, jobs, bills, all that. And we can't have fun because we're always worried. We're always upset. We're always consumed with what we don't have. My challenge to you, read Matthew 6. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? Matthew 6:33. My challenge for you, don't worry. God is in control. Trust Him. Let go of that. Don't let all worry does, it destroys your joy and destroys your happiness. Don't worry, let it go. The fourth thing is to celebrate along the way. There's so many good things that happen in your marriage. Stop and celebrate. Any excuse you have for celebration, take it. Celebrate. Go out and have dinner. Go out and cook, you know, go out on a special date night. Do whatever it takes. Stay in and watch a movie, but celebrate along the way. Celebrate the little victories, not just the big victories in life. The fifth thing is to enjoy each other's interest. And this, again, it's just, it's companionship. It's finding those things that you enjoy doing together. There's things that you like doing or things your spouse like doing, but what do you like doing together? When's the last time you did something with your spouse together? Went on a hike, went and played golf, went and did whatever, you fill in the blank, that you found something that you and your spouse like doing together. Enjoy each other's interest. The next one is to get away, to simply get away. There's times we just need to pull back and just do something fun together. Now, my wife and I, we've been talking about this for several weeks now. Man, we just need to get away. And we finally looked at the calendar. There's like two or three days we had in a row this past week. And we said, you know what? We don't have any meetings. We don't have any ball games. Let's just get away. And so what we did last Sunday after church, as soon as I finished preaching, we jumped in the car. We took off. We went to the beach for 3 days. And we stayed at the beach from Sunday night through Wednesday night. No plan, no schedule, just to goof off, to have fun, and to relax. And you don't know how much of a difference that makes in a marriage. Our kids had a blast. We had a blast. I ate way too much. But we had fun just to get away. Do that with your spouse. Do that with your family. Get away. The seventh one is to serve together. Some of the most special times in our marriage have been when we serve together, whether it's on mission trips, in youth ministry, when we are actually serving Christ together. There's so much joy that comes from that. This mission trip to Nicaragua we're working on for June, we're planning on going together as a family. I am so excited about that. We've each been to Nicaragua, but separately. We've not been together. This is going to be a shared experience that we can go together, to serve together. The next is to laugh at life. Just to laugh. You know, don't take yourself too seriously. Children laugh an average of like 300 times a day. Adults laugh like 15 times a day. We need to loosen up a little bit. If you're standing up here looking out at you, it's real easy to laugh. You know, we need to laugh at life. Don't take yourself too seriously. I look out sometimes, you know, now, loosen up a little bit. Have fun. We're in church. It's all right. Laugh at life. The next one is to dream. Dream together. Man, when couples are dating, they dream and they talk all about the future and they come up. I mean, I was a romantic in college. I used to take my wife out on dates to places like Burger King. And then we'd leave Burger King and we would go over and go to Lowe's Hardware on dates. Lowe's Hardware is an awesome date. And we would just walk through the aisles and we would just like pick out stuff and say, oh man, when we have a house one day, we could get this or do this. And it was so much fun. Didn't cost a penny. But we dreamed together. Don't stop dreaming in your marriage. It's amazing. Just dream. Talk about your future. Share your dreams. Don't lose that. And then the last one is to share your burdens. And y'all have probably heard wedding ceremonies. In marriage, your joys will be doubled and your sorrows halved. You know, I mean, that's my wedding officiating voice. You've heard that, but that's true. You share your joys and you share your burdens, right? I mean, that's what marriage, it's a beautiful thing. And I've talked a lot this morning about going back and when you were dating and most of you, I mean, you wouldn't have got married if there wasn't something that attracted you to that other person. And I want to just remind you as we get ready to close this morning, I want you to remember, to get what you once had, you have to do what you once did. If you want to get that spark back, you want to have that fun again in your relationship, go back to where it all started. Remember what you used to do and do it again. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you. I know this is a little bit different sermon series. I said it's very practical. But here's the danger in it. Here's what I want to kind of just caution you about. It's easy to sit and come to a sermon like this and, oh yeah, these are good points, and take them and say, I'm going to try to do all this. Don't lose Jesus. Okay, the reason why we want our marriages to be strong is because of Jesus Christ. And our marriages are a reflection to this world around us of Christ's love for the church. And if you try to do all this apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to fail miserably. You need His strength. You need His compassion. You need His character. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All of, you need those in your marriage. So don't forget to put Jesus Christ at the center of your relationship. In every decision, in every moment, it all comes back. That's the first and most important thing. Do we seek God together? Do we seek God together? We know love because what the Bible says, because of Jesus, He first loved us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." That verse there, I want you to know, my prayer is that you would have a good marriage. I mean, that's my prayer for each and every one of you. But more important than that is my prayer for you is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have a great marriage, and if you don't have Jesus, the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? A great marriage starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And my prayer as we close this morning is that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for what You've done in our lives, for what You've done in this church. We pray for our marriages that You would just build them up, strengthen them, allow them to be models for this community, for this world we live in. I pray that there is much joy in marriage here within this church, that together we can serve God gladly together. I pray for each and every couple that's here. I pray for those who are single and who are looking to get married. And I just pray, Lord, that You would prepare them. I pray for our youth right now, that You would just be instilling in them a biblical view of marriage and a biblical view of dating and relationships. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can love because You first loved us. And my prayer is that each person here has that personal relationship with the God who created them. That they've acknowledged their own sin. And Your word is very clear that when we confess our sin, that You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, Lord, that You come into our life and we confess our sin and acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That on the cross, that He took the penalty, He took the punishment for our sins and took our place. And because of that, we can have new life in Christ. My prayer is that each person here would just cry out to You, that they would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and they would believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, and then that they will be saved, because that's the promise from Your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen. As we close this morning, you could take the communication cards that are in front of you. There's lots of different, if you've got a prayer request you want us to pray about, if you've got any type of need, any type of commitment you want to make, just fill that out. Let us know. I'm going to be over here to the side, as always, if you have a prayer concern, if you've got questions, if you want to invite Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, then this is your chance. This is your opportunity. But we're going to close out this morning with a time of worship. Would you stand with us and sing?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Have a good week. See you next Sunday.